We have been in this series now for 4 weeks, mainly focused on this verse that you heard at the beginning of the service. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." You cannot follow Jesus if you do not know how to hear his voice. But implied in Jesus' statement is the reality that there are actually other voices out there trying to get the attention of the sheep. And spiritual maturity requires knowing which voice we need to listen to and which voices we need to ignore. So I read this story in Reader's Digest. A guy went into Nordstrom department store. And he needed to go to the restroom, so he finds the restroom, gets into the restroom, sits down in the stall, and he hears a voice in the stall next to him saying, "How you doing?" "I guess I'm doing okay." "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm sitting down in here doing the same thing you're doing. Do you mind if I come over?" Now he's annoyed and feeling very awkward. "Well, actually, I'm kind of busy right now." And then he hears the guy in the stall next to him say very loudly, "I'm going to have to call you back because some idiot next to me keeps answering all the questions I'm asking." The point is, you're going to hear a lot of voices. And you don't need to pay attention to most of the voices you hear. If hearing the voice of the Lord is critical to discipleship, then developing voice recognition is going to be equally critical. We have got to become so familiar with the voice of Jesus that we don't get duped by other messages. And you need to know, there are other messages that are out there. In fact, write this down. The enemy has a voice. I read in a paper a few years back, a woman named Desiree Kelly in Missouri, her ear started hurting her. She thought maybe she had an ear infection, maybe a buildup of wax. She didn't know. So she went to the doctor, and the nurse is looking in her ear, and it looks like something in her ear moves. So she starts flushing her ear with water, and something falls out on her sweater about the size of a nickel. It was a big black live spider. Now, after they checked her ear, everything was okay, but it really freaked this gal out. And for years since that event, she put earplugs in her ears at night when she went to bed for fear that something was trying to get into her head. I don't want to freak you out. But I need to tell you the truth. There are beings out there, and they are trying to get into your head. The enemy has a voice, and he wants to speak into your ears. And you don't have to read the Bible really very far at all to know that what I'm telling you is true. Genesis chapter 3, the very beginning, the battle between good and evil, between light and dark, between bondage and freedom, has come down to this question: which voice are you listening to? You need to know the mistake that Adam and Eve made was they gave room for the wrong voice to get into their head. I don't know what you think about Satan, but you cannot read the gospel accounts without understanding that Jesus believed in a real, malevolent spiritual being, an enemy, and he named him. And he said, there is no mission more important to Satan than to keep you from hearing and trusting the word of God. Jesus said, he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he's a snatcher. Jesus told a parable about a sower sowing seed in all kinds of different soil. And in the parable, the sower actually stands for God, and the seed stands for the word of God. And Jesus kind of explains this in Luke chapter 8. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. That is the mission of Satan, to take away God's word and God's voice in your life. How does he do that? Well, he takes it away by providing you with another word. Not one time does the enemy come up to Jesus in the wilderness and say, just curse God and die. Every single time what he did was he gave Jesus a different word, an alternative word. And you see Jesus immediately recognizing it. Even though the words sounded good, even though one time Satan is misquoting scripture, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And he knows how to get into your head and say something to you that sounds really, makes a lot of sense, it sounds right. And we've got to be so full of the truth of God, like Jesus, that we can recognize and we can repel satanic thought bombs before they ever are detonated. Because the enemy has a voice. But you know what? You have a voice too. You see, you and I, we talk to ourselves all the time. I heard about a father, he's in a grocery store with his three-year-old son. He puts him in the cart and the kid just starts throwing a massive fit. He's pitching a fit. And the entire time, this dad is walking through the aisles and you could just hear the dad saying, you can do this, Timmy. Come on, Timmy. Hang in there, Timmy. Be good, Timmy. It's not much longer, Timmy. Just, you can make it, Timmy. Finally, this older woman comes to him and says, sir, I am so proud to see how gently you're speaking to your son, Timmy. Because that's not my son's name. My son's name is Johnny. I'm Timmy. We talk to ourselves all the time. And the problem is, much of what you and I tell ourselves actually opposes what God is trying to tell you. And you've got examples of this all over Scripture. Genesis 17, God speaks to this elderly old man named Abraham. And he says, you know what? You're going to become a father. And it says in Scripture that Abraham said to himself, I'm too old to become a father. Jesus told a story about a businessman. He had a great year. He had such an incredible harvest, he couldn't even fit all of his crops that he harvested into his barn. And that means he's got a plethora to share with other people who are needy. But you know what he does? He says to himself, I'll just build a bigger barn. That way I can keep it all for myself and spend it on things I want. There's a reason why the scripture says in Proverbs, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The Bible is literally full of warnings of self-deception. Because here's the truth. People have lied to you. People have lied to me. And there have been times when it was incredibly, devastatingly hurtful when it happened. But no one can lie to you and convince you that the lie is actually better than the truth, better than you can yourself. Nobody can lie to me and make me believe it better than I can on my own. And we're so good at this. We are experts at the art of convincing ourselves that what we want is actually God's will for us. I know I made the promise till death do us part, but I really think God wants me to be happy. I know God's plan is for the act of sex to be in the context of marriage, but how am I ever going to know if we're compatible if we don't sleep together before we get married? I know God wants me to be generous with my money, but there's so much that I need and want. We are so good at this. You see, there are other voices. And the challenge of the sheep is to decide, is this a voice I should obey? Or is this a voice I should ignore? Because we can hear these voices literally in the same day, in the same company, in the same conversation. Jesus was speaking with his disciples one day in Matthew chapter 16, and he asked them a very important question. By the way, the most important question you have to deal with in your life. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter stands right up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know what? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. But my Father in heaven gave you that insight. Peter, you heard literally from God about this. But in the very same conversation, just a little bit later in the chapter, Jesus starts talking about the fact that he is indeed the Christ. And he's going to be crucified. And he's going to be put on a cross and die. And Peter again jumps right up. Not so, Lord, never. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. The same man in the same conversation heard from the Lord and he heard the voice of the enemy. Developing voice recognition is critical to being a disciple of Jesus. What is it that Jesus said in John 10:27? My sheep hear my voice. So how can we be sure it is the voice of the Lord that we are hearing? And I'm going to share with you in a moment three principles. But first, we got to build on this foundation, the basic fundamental truth that God's spoken word will always agree with his written word. God is immutable. What does that mean? Well, it means that God does not change. God doesn't change his mind. God doesn't say, well, I know what I said a long time ago, but I'm rethinking what I think about that. God doesn't change what he thinks about light or dark or right or wrong or good or evil. The Spirit is not going to lead you to read one thing and then tell you something different. Now, people all the time try to do this. I'm very familiar with a very well-known president that once said, my thinking has evolved on the subject of marriage. Well, we're so good at this particular thing. We're good at robbing the authority of the Word of God and its a power And Jesus would never, ever do that. When the enemy approached him in the wilderness, he went straight to God's word. Even though at that time, much of what Jesus quoted to Satan was actually over 1,000 years old, it had not lost 1 ounce of its power or its truth. And God had not changed his mind. And he went to that word and he repelled the enemy with that word because of his confidence in God's written word. It enabled Jesus to reject what was not right, even when it came disguised as an angel of light. When you know what God has said, there are some things you know he will never say. So the more we know his word, the better we are at recognizing his voice. That's why we should never treat it lightly, honestly, when a scripture pops into your mind. Because the Holy Spirit is always eager to apply what he has inspired. And so I know that I am hearing from God anytime I am prompted to remember or to share or to live out anything that is written in the Word of God. If it's his verse, it's his voice. But I've learned there are some other ways to recognize the voice of the Lord. And here's the first, write it down. God's voice will encourage my spirit. The word of the Lord is always given to build you up, not to tear you down. God speaks to remind me of what is right and to inspire me to keep doing what is right, even, by the way, when it's really hard. Paul was in a town that us guys are studying called Corinth. And the Jews there opposed him in a powerful way. It was making Paul's life very hard. And it says in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, that one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. It was a word from God that gave the apostle Paul courage to preach the word of God. The word of the Lord is never going to produce worry or doubt, or weariness, or cynicism. God speaks to increase your peace. God speaks to repel your fear. God speaks to fill up your courage. And by the way, one of the ways that God does this is that God exposes the lie that you have been listening to that is causing you to lose peace, or causing you to be full of weariness, or causing you to be full of fear. I have been the pastor of Fort Des Moines Church of Christ for a long time now. We're not a big church. We're not. I want us to be bigger, and we're working on it. Amen. But being a pastor in this city for as many years as I have been, I've got a lot of colleagues in ministry that I respect. And sometimes, I remember one time I was at a luncheon with Pastor Mike Householder, and we were talking. When you're a pastor, one of the questions you ask as pastors is, well, how big is your church? If you don't know, Mike Householder pastors Lutheran Church of Hope. They average around 18,000 people every weekend. That's like a nightmare scenario to be asked, you know. How big's your church? 18,000. How big's your church? You know, There are times when the enemy creeps in and he starts to whisper in my ear. And he says things like this: any other preacher would have grown that church bigger by now. You must not be that great of a preacher if you haven't been able to grow that church. And when that happens, thankfully, sometimes I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me, whispering, you're my shepherd over that flock. I called you there. You're strengthening marriages. You're equipping people. Don't give up. Keep going. Whenever the enemy tries to attack me, or whenever I try to just beat myself up, whenever I start to feel less than, I remember God loves me. God uses me. God speaks to me. And it's good to remember the words that God has spoken to you and to hang on to those words and to allow those words to build you up and strengthen you long after they were spoken to you. I want you to hear what Paul said to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 18. He said, Timothy, my son, he loved Timothy, by the way, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. You hear what Paul is saying to this young pastor? Timothy, you remember those prophetic words that were spoken over you? The church spoke those words over you through the Lord. Hold on to those words, Timothy. Recall those words. Step into those words. Tell those words to yourself over and over again. When we hold on to those words from God, words from God will hold on to us, because His Spirit will always encourage your spirit. But sometimes the encouragement will include a loving admonishment. And that's the next thing that you need to know about God's voice. That is that God's voice will enable my transformation. Our church exists to make and grow followers of Jesus. The way that we do this is by being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus and doing what Jesus did. You see, God has never been unclear about His intentions for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. Some of y'all think God could never forgive. Oh, yes, He can. He knew you. He saw you. And He has a plan for you. And so God is going to take you where you are, and He's going to speak to you to guide you where you can be more like Jesus. Because that has always been God's intention for you. He doesn't speak just to transmit information. He speaks to inspire and produce transformation. So we listen not just for what He wants us to do. We listen for who He wants us to be. The Spirit of Christ is always going to guide us into the character of Christ. This is God's wisdom, and it's so vastly different from the wisdom of the world. James, the brother of Jesus, says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You know what? That sounds a whole lot like the character of Jesus. And you know it's God's voice when it's guiding you to becoming more like Jesus, even if that includes some gentle correction I've got a buddy, he's a dear friend. He told me this story about a lady in his church who came up to him one Sunday after service talking to him, said, "Pastor, I heard from God last week." She's a single mom, and being a single mom is really, really hard. And she had a really hard week with her teenage daughter. And she confessed to her pastor, said, "Pastor, I was talking to God about my daughter, and this is exactly what I prayed. God, my daughter is such a..." And she cussed. She said an expletive. And exactly in the moment that she said that, she heard God say, "That's my daughter before she was your daughter. And she is not a expletive." You see, the daughter of this woman was out of line, but the mother crossed a line. God reminded her gently that his word is very clear. And it was calm, it was very direct. And this woman, in the midst of her prayer conversation with God, repented. And she said, "You know, the funny thing is, as that whole thing was going on, I really felt confronted by God, but I also felt consolation from God. God was saying, your daughter does have a father, and he loves her, and he's invested in her life, and I'm going to be with her no matter how hard the road is that she walks." God's word can confront, and God's word can console right at the same time. So it's really critical when we hear a voice that seems to be challenging us that we remember we've also got an accuser who's looking for opportunities to assault us and assault our character flaws. So we've got to be able to recognize the difference between the condemning voice of the enemy and the convicting voice of the Lord. Conviction is going to point you to the way of change. Condemnation is just going to make you feel stuck and lousy. Have you ever had a moment where you just allowed the enemy to speak and his voice just lands into your thoughts? And you start remembering something that you were forgiven for, but all of a sudden you are overwhelmed with shame again. My friend, any voice that tempts you to take your eyes off of the cross of Christ is not from heaven. For there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There is more grace in God than there is sin in you. And so God's voice may correct your behavior, but it will never attack your worth. We welcome the voice of the Lord because he is a loving father. And anything that he says to us is going to be because he wants the best for us. And so we listen and we create space for his spirit to continue his work and to forming us into devoted followers of Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, you'll wind up in places where fear would never take you. And that's the last way you know it's the voice of the Lord. God's voice will encourage your spirit. God's voice will enable your transformation. And God's voice will enlarge your faith. The one thing I've noticed when I talk to myself, it seems like what I always tell myself tends to lean in the direction of safety and comfort. What's the easy path? But throughout the Bible, the people that heard from God were often called to leave their comfort zones and take bold steps of faith. The same voice that was intended to encourage will often call for courage. Paul is coming back from a trip. He's gathering money for the saints in Jerusalem. There's a lot of opposition to Paul in Jerusalem. And on the way back, he stops in a town called Caesarea. He stays with a man named Philip, who had four daughters. And you read this in Acts, and it says that these daughters of his had the gift of prophecy. And then in chapter 21, verse 10, this is what was recorded by Dr. Luke. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt and he tied his hands and his own feet. And he said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." And when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Now remember, just like you have to do with Scripture, you have to interpret Scripture. When you get a prophecy or a word from God, you have to interpret that, and you have to discern, what does this actually mean? And notice how quick the church was to interpret this word from the Lord about future suffering in Paul's life for a call to be cautious. Paul, God said, in your future, there's going to be suffering. So Paul, don't go. Don't go to Jerusalem. Stay here. It's safer here. But Paul did not equate the presence of opposition with the absence of opportunity. I want you to look at what he says, verse 13. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Paul said, "I decided to follow Jesus. And I knew when I made that decision, that man had a cross on his back. I knew that he told me, if I'm going to follow him, I've got to pick up a cross as well." Paul knew that any voice that is telling you to walk away from a cross is not the voice of the Lord. Any of you read Oswald Chambers' old book, My Utmost for His Highest? Book's been around for a long time, and it's blessed millions, literally, throughout the years. And in that book, he said, "Have you ever heard the master say something very difficult to you? If you have not, I question whether you have heard from him say anything at all." Some of you have been hearing God lately asking you to leave your comfort zone, to step out in faith. And you haven't done it yet, but you've heard it. He's calling you to be more generous with your wealth and to trust in him alone for tomorrow. He's calling you to start walking in sexual purity. Maybe he's calling you to go to downtown Des Moines on March 17th and hand out some Easter card invites. The voice of the Lord will enlarge your faith. And one of the greatest examples of this, personally, that I've ever heard in a sermon was by the famous Dr. Martin Luther King. December 1st, 1955, a brave woman named Rosa Parks refuses to give up her seat on a bus to a white man. And that launched what was called the Montgomery Bus Boycott. And they asked this brand new pastor in town if he would lead the protest, and Dr. King said yes, because he thought it would only last for a couple of weeks. But it lasted for months. It's January 27th, 1956. He's getting a lot of opposition that came actually with a lot of threats on his life. He's at home. His wife and his daughter are asleep in the other room. And he's sitting at the kitchen table and the phone rings. And an anonymous snarling voice on the other side says, "You and your family better be gone in 2 days or you're dead." I want to read to you in his own words what he said about that in his sermon. "I sat at the table thinking about that little girl in the other room, thinking about the fact that she could be taken away from me in a minute, thinking about a dedicated, devoted, loyal wife who was over there laying asleep. And I got to the point that I couldn't take it anymore. I was weak. And I discovered that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over a cup of coffee, and I'll never forget it. And I prayed a prayer, and I prayed out loud that night. And I said, 'Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause we represent is right, but Lord, I gotta confess, I'm weak right now. I'm faltering right now. I'm losing my courage.'" And he said, and it seemed at that moment that I could hear an inner voice saying to me, "Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you always." And I heard the voice of Jesus that night say, "Fight on, Martin." 3 days later, Martin Luther's home was bombed. But thankfully, nobody was home. Now, the very next morning, an angry mob gathered in his lawn with clubs and guns. And they're saying, "Let's go give it back to him." And Dr. King said, "No, we're not going to return hate for hate or violence for violence." And for 12 years, that's exactly what he preached, even though many, many times he was asked and pleaded to change his strategy. And when he was asked over and over, "Why do you keep saying love the people that have been so cruel to you?" he would tell them about a time on January 12th, 1956, in his kitchen over a cup of coffee when he heard the voice of Jesus. I've seen many disciples do hard and surprising, even unexpected things because they heard God's voice. And I never have heard any one of them say, "You know, I regret that." You have to hear his voice. And when you follow him, wherever he leads, you step into a life that you were actually designed by God to live. And so, which voice are you listening to? I want to pray over you. Would you stand up? Father, we thank you. You are a God that speaks, that loves us too much to keep us in the dark. Would you increase our expectation that you will show us the right way to go and the right people to be? Would you increase our capacity to recognize wrong voices, even when they come disguised like good ideas? And would you increase our courage to obey the voice of Jesus, knowing full well we might have to carry a cross to look like he looks? Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.